If I can ask us just to bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father God, thank you so much for Good Friday that we had on Friday. Thank you for the blessing that that was, that you took everything, all of our sin, all the curses on your shoulders, and you broke them. And in every curse, there is always a blessing, and that blessing is today. 2,000 years ago, when you overcame the grave and you gave us that gift of eternal life, and that those of us who believe and call in the name of Jesus will one day sit at the feet of the throne. So Lord, this morning is dedicated to you, to all that you've done, for the gifts and the blessings that you bestow upon us. Even though we don't deserve them, you love us. You've loved us from before we were conceived. You knew we were coming. You knew what we would do. And yet you still made that ultimate sacrifice for all of your children. That no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, we are all still children, and we are yours. And for that, we give you all praise and all glory. So thank you. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Right. I welcome you here this morning. It's my pleasure and my privilege. It really is a privilege to start the worship this morning, to start the message. I won't be doing the whole message, so just bear with me for the section that I'm involved with. And then after the message for the big people comes the little people's turn. So I'll be coming back at the end of the message to just give a few words to the children on this special day where we remember that Christ is risen. He is no longer in the grave. He is alive. So you'll just have to bear with us this morning, little ones, not so little ones, as we continue with worship this morning. I have a word from you from the book of Revelation, and it's from Revelation verse 17, where Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. I am the first, the last, and the living one. I died, but now I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and the world of the dead. I have the keys." So I pray that those words will be meaningful for us this morning as we worship the risen King. So on Good Friday, those of us who were here, and if you weren't here, on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. He was sent as the sacrificial lamb to take the curse of the sins upon himself, to be both broken and his blood shed, so that he could overcome death for us, so that you and I can have eternal life in him. Once he was crucified, he was laid in a grave. This grave was carved out of a rock, like a small cave or a tomb. And in front of it, to make sure that nobody came to steal the body or mess with what was in there, so that no grave robbers could come, they placed a large, very heavy stone in front of the tomb. The book of Mark in the New Testament, verses 2-3, tells us, "Very early on that first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they," those are Jesus' followers, some of them, "they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, 'Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb?' That first Easter morning, when the women made their way to the tomb, they had just one question on their minds: 'Who will roll the stone away for us?' For it was a very large stone. And it would have taken about 20 men to roll that stone away, given what we know about tombs at that time. So these women knew that they didn't stand a chance. They were mere women, and that stone was huge. But they wanted to anoint their beloved Savior's dead body. It would be their last act of love towards the one who had showed them such love. But how? As they headed to the tomb that morning, that was foremost on their minds. Apparently, they weren't thinking about whether the guards would let them approach the tomb. They weren't worried about being arrested for interfering with the tomb. They weren't wondering why Peter and the other men were not joining them. They weren't concerned about how they would react to seeing Jesus' dead body after 3 days. Their Savior crucified and lying dead in a tomb. No, all they were really thinking about was who would roll away the stone. For them, it was a very, very large stone. Now, this time of Easter has many meanings for us as Christians. It's too big a miracle to mean just one thing. Easter clearly means that Christ is risen. It means that Jesus has defeated death. Easter means that eternal life is real, that death doesn't end our life with God, that all who live and believe will never die. But that stone being rolled away from the tomb, a detail which is recorded in all four of the Gospels, tells us something else about Easter that I think is quite significant. The stone being rolled away tells us that Easter is also about the ways in which God removes obstacles in our lives, those obstacles that try to keep us from God and try to stop us from living the life that God has called us to live. So today, I invite you to think about the large stones in your lives, those obstacles that are keeping you from living the full, abundant life with Christ here and now. Think about those challenges that are trying to keep you in your tomb, so to speak. Those battles that paralyze us with fear, that trap us, that try to stop us from living, really living our new lives in Christ. And then think about what Easter teaches us about how God plans to move these stones.
All right, so let's start with Peter and the other men that were following Jesus. They were his first disciples. Did you notice that they did not appear in this gospel reading so far? They are not going to the tomb to help the woman remove the stone. No. They were all locked away in the upper room, afraid for their lives. No wonder the women were worried about who would roll away the stone for them. They couldn't get the men to go to the tomb with them. The men had created a tomb for themselves and put the stone of their making over it. They really didn't want the stone rolled away. And that even includes the leader of those disciples, Peter. Peter is the one who denied even knowing Jesus after Jesus was arrested. And now, seems he's still denying Jesus. Peter, by the way, was just a nickname that was given to him by Jesus, and it literally means a rock or a stone. Peter's supposed to be this rock and the stone that the church is built upon. He is supposed to be the leader. But that first Easter morning, the leader of the disciples, where is he? He is locked away with the other disciples, cowering in fear. You might say in Peter's case that the stone Peter needs rolling away is himself. Sometimes that's true for us, isn't it? We get in our own way. We create our own tombs And the stone covering the tombs is our very own self. But who will roll away that stone? Well, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he did exactly as he promised. He showed himself to the disciples. He showed, Jesus entered the upper room and he rolled away their stone. He freed them of fear and he helped them proclaim the good news to the world. That is part of the Easter miracle for us too. Our risen Lord enters our lives and he enters our tombs and rolls away the stones that are keeping us from being all that God wants us to be. He frees us from fear and he helps us proclaim his message to the world. The woman, of course, didn't need Jesus to come to the upper room. They had the courage to go to the tomb themselves, even though they didn't know what they would do when they got there. And that too teaches us something, doesn't it? That sometimes we need to leave our tombs, we need to step out in faith, and we need to trust that God will be there for us and help us in our need. Those women, they knew that they could not roll the stone away themselves. But it didn't stop them from going to the tomb. If Easter means anything to us, it certainly means that God will be with us, always, and especially when we need God to be with us. Sorry, we can't let the woman off quite so easily, though. Let's go back to what happened that first Easter morning. When the woman arrived at the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. They needn't have worried about that at all. But then they were told to go and tell Peter and the other disciples that Jesus is going ahead of them to Galilee. There they will see him, just as he promised. So what did the woman do? They fled from the tomb. They never said anything to anybody, for they were afraid. And that is how Mark's Easter story ends. So even after we step out in faith, we can still find ourselves stumbling. There are lots and lots of stones in our paths. It turns out it's quite easy to stumble. The woman said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. What were they afraid of? Perhaps they were afraid of being laughed at. The old story about the mockers and the scoffers. But how could Jesus really go to Galilee if he was dead? Perhaps of what they just witnessed, her own rolled away stone, a missing Messiah, a mysterious message from a young man dressed in a white robe. Sounds like a private detective story. They would make anyone afraid, surely. Hey? Or perhaps they were afraid of what the disciples would say to them. Would they think the woman were crazy for seeing these weird things? Would they even believe them? The woman were afraid, and for very good reason. And that fear became another stone that needed to be rolled away. But here's another Easter miracle. The stone was indeed rolled away. Well, it must have been, because we know the story. The woman did tell the disciples eventually. And Jesus did appear to those disciples as promised. And he forgave Peter for denying him. And he promised to send the Holy Spirit to them. And he helped them understand what had just happened and how it fulfilled the promise in Scripture. And he ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit came. And every last stone in the lives of those disciples were rolled away. Because there is no stone that is too large for God, no obstacle that God cannot remove. Reminds me of something my dad used to say to me. And it's, if I made you, I can break you. And it's the same with God. He made everything in this world, so he can remove anything or move anything in this world. So do you want proof of the resurrection? Well, there is none other more convincing than this, that Peter and the disciples who were cowering in fear in the upper room became the most fearless witnesses to the resurrection that you could ever imagine. Most of them dying, unafraid, and unwilling to deny what had become the cornerstone of their faith, that Christ died, that he rose, and promises one day to return. No one was more fearless than those first disciples. And no stone that was rolled in front of them could stop them now. No prison, no death threats, nothing. Now that is a miracle. So what changed? How did they go from cowering in fear in a locked room to boldly sharing the story of what Jesus did throughout the entire world? Who rolled that stone away from them? What else could it be but Jesus himself? It was Jesus who was raised from the dead. And it was Jesus who appeared to them. He rolled away all the stones that were stopping them from doing his work. And after that, they fearlessly proclaimed the good news of the resurrection of our Lord. No one could trap them anymore. That too is the miracle of Easter, for them and for us. So Easter really is about an empty tomb, and so much more. It's about our risen Lord with us always, rolling away the stones and obstacles in our lives. It's about God helping us to live our lives without fear, following our Savior where he leads us, and to help usher in God's reign. Easter means that there is no more tomb that God cannot free us from. There is no stone that God cannot roll away. Regardless of how we got there, God does not want us to stay there. God wants to free us from whatever is keeping this new life in Christ and that miracle that Easter has to offer us. So do not be afraid. Trust in God. Believe in God's Son. Rejoice in God's love for you. Do not worry about who will roll away the stone for you, whatever that stone may be. For Christ is risen, and he is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Okay, now it's a little bit of time for the little people. Okay, usually I just talk to a handful of little ones about this, but anyway. So why is Easter so special? We've heard a long story, but we need to think, why do we have special holidays at Easter time? Is it just to get off school? Yes. Okay. It is the holiest and most special, special day of the year for those of us who love Jesus. But Jesus' story doesn't end with him dying on the cross. That really is a new beginning and a new chance for us to be able to live with Jesus forever. Without the cross, we have no hope of life. And Jesus' body was taken away after he was crucified. Remember, we spoke last Sunday in Sunday school about Jesus being nailed on the cross? And after he had died, a rich man came and asked if he could take Jesus' body away and bury it, give it a really special burial. So the Romans allowed this rich man, Joseph, to take the body away. And he put Jesus' body in a special tomb. And as we heard just now, there was a big stone that was rolled in front of the tomb. And all his followers were very, very sad. They didn't know what to do without this man that they'd followed for 3 years. Anyway, when these women went to the tomb on that Sunday morning to go and put some special spices on the body, they found the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And there was a man dressed in white robes sitting in the tomb. And he said to them, "Who are you looking for?" "The man you're looking for isn't here anymore. He is risen. He is gone." There was no body left in the tomb. And what did that mean? What does it mean for us? It means that we can trust Jesus to keep his promises. He promised to be with us always. He promised that we can have life after we die, just like Jesus. We just have to follow him, love him, and ask him to be the king of our lives. Now I want to show you something. What's that? An egg. You all know what an egg is, don't you? What's inside the egg? How do you know? Can you see it? No. All right. We all know that this is an egg. And an egg has a nice hard shell to keep the insides together. As soon as you break it, the insides all fall out. But what lives in an egg? What's inside it? What kind of life is inside an egg? A chicken, yes. So that's where chickens come from. They are hatched out of a little egg. Now, why do you think we give each other and enjoy Easter eggs? They're just chocolate and marshmallow and nice gooey sweet things. But eggs, an egg, is a sign of new life. It's a sign that this thing that is not breathing, it's just lies there, that has life inside it. That is why we give each other Easter eggs. You know, if the shell of the egg doesn't break, the chicken can't get out, can it? It's trapped in there, just like being trapped in a tomb. The chicken is trapped. The egg has to break. The shell has to break so that it can come out. And that is why we give each other eggs at Easter time. It's to show that there is new life if we just come out of what is holding us and live with Jesus. We can have a beautiful friendship with Jesus, who's our friend and our Savior, and we can look forward to living with him forever. And so when you eat Easter eggs, remember that they're not just sweets, they're a sign of life, new life with Jesus. Okay, now if all the children can come and fetch an Easter egg, you can have one. You take one egg. There you go. So when you enjoy your Easter egg, think about breaking the chocolate on the outside, coming out and having a new life with Jesus. God bless you all.